All right, Gospel of John, chapter 12. We're going to finish up on black holes tonight, Lord willing. Lord willing. And in John chapter 12, most of you are familiar with 23 and 24. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come. The hour is come. This is it." That's another way of saying it. This is it. Oh, I thought the feeding of the 5,000 was it and taking care of the needy. No. Oh, I thought healing all those people was no. Oh, I thought casting out all those demons. No. This is it. The hour's come. This is what it's really all about. And he describes it like this. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much more seed like the original." Because it's a grain of wheat. And the fruit of wheat is wheat seed, which is what died. All right, so if he's using this example, then he's going to stick true to it in this sense. The fruit is not good works or, you know, all the things that we think is fruit. Not in this example. The fruit is more seeds that are like the original. Would that be correct? If you stuck with wheat seed, a seed falling into the ground and die is going to bring forth fruit, but the fruit is not going to be what we think. It's going to be more of him, but him in us. Okay, if that's true, then verse 24 has to do with him, but verse 25 has to do with the fruit, us. So verse 24 is, "Except the seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit." Verse 25 is, "He that loves his life shall lose it. But he that keepeth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me in this dying seed principle." Can I get an amen? You know why I asked for an amen? Because if we ain't amen in this, then something's wrong with this place. This scripture is one of the main ones that this place is established on. All right. But you have to realize, and I mean you have to realize this, because if you don't, you're going to miss the mark. You have to realize that the death in itself is not the end, or is not the goal, or is not the finished product. Okay? All right. Well, let's agree with everybody else who challenges us on this point. They say, "Well, yeah, death, but there's a resurrection. You know, you talk too much about death. How about resurrection?" Well, I just said that the death was not the end goal, but the resurrection. Do you agree with that? Okay. But what is the resurrection? That's the real clincher there, isn't it? The resurrection is more seed that will fall into the ground and die. I mean, it's right there, you know. I mean, that's hard to argue with. I didn't write that. Really. Jesus actually said it, and somebody else wrote it down. That's not my theology or whatever. The fruit in God's eyes, the husbandman, the farmer, would be to get more in the image of Christ, or more with the nature of this original seed coming up. But the key word there is more. Or increase. Those are really big, big words in the vocabulary of God. They are not small little penny ante piddly things. Increase. Read the parables. Read almost all of the parables. God's looking for an increase. I mean, you check it out. You start reading them, you go, oh my God, they're really all about increase. And so we see this multiplication, but we see that within that multiplication, there is something of resurrection that is even bigger than individual seeds. Okay, even bigger. And that is found, right, same chapter, just a few verses down. Let's look at verse 31. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Okay, so the average charismatic church member will read that like this. If we lift up Jesus, glory, 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 people will be drawn to him. So let's have really incredible worship services to draw people to him. Well, incredible worship services in many cases draw people to your church. Now remember, you are the church. You don't go to church, but it draws people to go to church at your gathering point. Jesus didn't say, if I be lifted up with praise and worship, you know, in fact, let's just say it. Let's not go any further. Let's read the next verse after that. If I, well, 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Okay? So the lifting up is not praise and worship, nor is it anything else. That Jesus is saying, and this is the heart of the matter. Jesus is saying that if I am lifted up in the manner of death, in other words, on the cross, lifted up on the cross, and if I die, something is going to be formed that will have a drawing effect. Okay, and he's talking about the Son of Man here, and they're discussing it, you know, and going, who is this Son of Man? And who is it? And they're saying stuff like this. Well, I thought if when the Messiah came, he'd live forever. What is he talking about? He's going to go away. He's going to die. What is this? This is all confusing, because the Son that is going to die, the Son of Man, is going to go away in that form. But when that sun dies, when it goes supernova, when it blows, baby, when because of the magnitude of this sun, because of the incredible magnitude of this sun, I wrote down a thought here. How black holes are born out of the death of suns. Okay, so I thought I had another statement here. Yeah, the death of a son or sons equals, I'll just angle this a little bit, the birth of a black hole. Okay? And that black hole continues to grow exponentially to the degree that it gathers in sons, other sons, out here, sons of God, other sons, and planets and anything else out there, frankly, it light, sound waves. This is the most powerful draw there is. And he said, if I go supernova, if I die as a sun, Death of the sun equals a black hole. I will bring into existence something that will draw you not to Christ in a saving mode. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about into oneness. He's talking about exactly what a black hole does. And that is that it starts pulling everything into it. And as it does, and as everything gets past the event horizon, it begins to be compacted and joined together so much so that some say that everything loses its, I want to say DNA, let's say individuality, but pardon? No, it loses the individual information that it has. Okay, now I have a problem with that on one hand, but I don't on another hand. Because this reality, this is bringing you into something more than being saved sons. You're already a son of God. We quoted last week, 1 John 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, and that's because we will be sucked into the vortex of His drawing. If I die as Son of Man, I'll come back as black hole and I will draw all men unto me. But He's not just drawing people for salvation, and that's where most Christians, yes, He draws us to save us. Yes, there is that reality. I'm not rejecting that, but folks, there is a bigger reality. There is a reality, let's just say it like this. There is a reality that God's trying to take place beyond that, and again, 1 John has it, because the next verse says, and every man that hath this hope purifieth himself even as, not in some purifying way because you fasted or you quit doing something, purifieth himself even as he is pure. You're brought into him. You're brought into oneness. You're compacted so tightly that you can't tell where you begin and another brother or sister ends or vice versa, because Christ lives in all of us. And here, let me just give you a scripture to go along with that. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Verse 26. Okay, so let's start in verse 26, and what are we going to get? For you are all the sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that scripture? Well, it's wise to agree with the Word of God. Okay. We are all. So what? Okay, what is it talking about? It's talking about all, and it's talking about sons. So that's not a compacted thing. That is, we are all sons. See the sons? See? And who is the center of the son's life? Well, the son. Right? The son. All right? But it doesn't end there. That is the state after salvation, but before oneness. Before we have entered into, before, when it says it doth not yet appear what we shall be, the word appear there is manifest. We already are sons of God. We already are joined. We already are one, but it ain't appearing in us. It's appearing like we're all a bunch of individuals. Can I get old me? Yeah, thank you. Verse 26, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Oh, who is he talking to? As many as, he's talking about the sons of verse 26. You tell me if he is or isn't. Read it. He's talking about the sons in verse 26. And he's telling them that there is more than God creating suns that shine and bring warmth and power. He's saying there's more than that. And that more is, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one. You're not all sons, and no longer, not once you've made that trip into Him. and the recognition of what he has created by resurrection. Because, all right, let's talk about before the black hole here, and before this sun goes supernova. Okay? Let's talk about that. Here's Jesus, the Son of Man, in his earth body. All right. What is gathered around him? Disciples. Am I right or wrong? Are those disciples drawn into oneness while they're walking this earth together?
Yes.
No.
No, they're not. They're not. They're not one with him. They're joined with him. They're partners. They're buddies. You know? They probably signed the membership card of joining with Jesus, but they're not one with him. And the proof of that is this little circle-looking thing here. They're not one. And the other proof of that is that when Jesus, because one, folks, oneness is not a thing. Let me just make something clear here. Oneness is not a theological reality. Oneness is that the one by his nature lives in you and motivates you. So when the one wants to go to the cross, what's happening with his disciples? They're all running and hiding and scared. No, you know, and hey, Peter, did you, you know? Are you one with him? Well, you know, he not only denied him, he cursed him. As we say in Texas, he cursed. Jesus went one way to the cross, and they went another way. Well, for the most part, we don't know where that was. We call it hidey-hidey place, you know. That's all we know. Other than John, we don't know where they were. But we know that they, after Peter tried to hang out and stay the course, he found out he was not one yet. Did it grieve him? I bet it did. Did it freak him out? Did it freak him out so bad that he realized he could never do what he thought he was able to do? And he went back to fishing. Because that's what the original Greek says. He went back permanently to his fishing business. Okay? Well, Jesus in the resurrection shows up and he's got some good news. It's like he would say to these guys, you know, but now I'm no longer that sun, a living, glowing sun. I died so that the sun of the black hole would be created. And he would say, you are one. All right. So let's put this. You know, let's put this on Saturday, 3 days later, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday, fourth day Adventist. Just kidding. He's 4 days later, they're standing around him. Remember, before he went up, they're standing around him. We're one. Now, do you think him saying that made any difference, that 4 days made any difference to their ears? No, not to their ears. Do you think they comprehended it immediately? No. And in fact, Jesus pretty much explained to them, I have many things yet to say to you, but you cannot bear it, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to teach you what? How to dance in the Spirit and go hidey-ho and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's fine. I, you know, you might be surprised to see me do stuff like that. Sometimes when I'm leading worship, I dance playing the guitar. But I am not fooled into thinking that's what Jesus was talking about. Now, was I ever fooled? Yeah, I was. But what changed my mind? Number one, just reading what the Bible actually says instead of what I think it says.
Yes.
Number two, the Holy Spirit came, just like Jesus said. He said, I'm so glad you got off of that and got open. How do you get open? How do you get open? How shall they hear without a preacher? Isn't that what the Bible says? Somebody, somewhere, said something and you went, if you're like me, you went, that ain't right. I mean, I did. I put up arms and I was ready to you know, blast ready to. I did. But there was an openness in me, and the Holy Spirit began to go, oh, you know, I would do that, and then I go back to my room in the quietness of the room and be reading the Word of God, and Spirit would go, so you think you know so much, huh? How long have you been saved? You know? 2 months? You know, sorry. Did I see a hand? Yes.
I just want to say that being open with the Holy Spirit, it's like I'm in the process of relearning that again right now. But, you know, it's like that thing with the monkey, how they trap the monkey in the, you know, put his hand in the hole and grabs a banana. He won't let go of the banana, so he can't get it, and they catch the monkey because he's too stupid to let go of the banana. We're the monkey. You know, in your heart, if you're holding on and you're knowing things and you know things and you know the way things are and you're in a safe place, in a place that feels secure and stable to you as far as your theology and your doctrine and blah, 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 and your, and God has no place in that, as long as you hold to that, it's like as long as you claim you can see, your blindness remains. It's the same thing. It, getting to that scary place of letting go and really being open allows the Holy Spirit then to come in and to share with you and to give to you. But you can't receive if you've got your hands on something.
Amen. Well, these scriptures here say that you're sons of God, but you need to be brought into the reality that you're more than sons. I mean, verse 26 clearly is declaring sonship, that you're a son of God, okay? So receive it. Believe it, but don't stop there. Is that okay to say that? Because verse 28 ends with you are all one. You're all one. Okay? And his definition of oneness, get ready, and most of you already know this, but his definition of oneness isn't that Jews and Greeks and Gentiles and, you know, all of the differences that we are, we all get together now because we're one. The big hug. We're all one, and we all accept one another's differences. Ah! Excuse me. Well, first of all, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither this nor that. There's none of that. There's none of that. There's only one. Well, who do you think the one is? Jesus. Have you ever sang that song? Jesus is the one. Yes, he's the only one. Well, do you believe it? Sure. Sure, Dave. Sure. The thought does not even cross our minds other than a beautiful song and a wonderful theology. And, you know, and I have been to pastors' meetings and churches where churches were brought together and right here in this town. And I emceed the thing, come to think of it. And there were 15 churches there, and everybody felt good, and we were worshiping together, and we were lifting up Jesus, and the different pastors walked up and talked, and it was glorious. And I wonder what happened to all that. Well, we all said we were one. But then after the meeting, we went back to being 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 15. And the twain shall never meet. And that was a miracle, getting everybody together just to sit next to one another and sing. I mean, everybody goes, this is incredible. Well, you think that's incredible? Wait till you see the death and resurrection. The death of what? You and you and you and you and you and you. With all of your quirks. Cultural differences. Yes, did you have your hand up? You have a question.
To see if I'm getting there.
I have an answer before you even say it. Jesus.
Thank you. I don't need to ask now. Is it this black hole? Is it like there's all this power like in a seed or something like the star, but until it's not activated until it dies?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But
so it's
it
like
is
activating
the power of his resurrection. And the power of his resurrection is the ability to draw people not just to Jesus, but into Jesus. And that's a big difference, folks. My God, you can have all kind of people coming to Jesus, and they're still fighting and fussing, and they're still got problems, and people are still backsliding, and people are still getting off in sin. You understand? Does anybody know what I'm saying when I say that? It's not enough to bring people to Jesus, but they've never been introduced to the black hole. They're still worshiping the Son of Man that walked the earth. And that Son died. The Son dies and forms a black hole, which is a drawing instrument that draws us into oneness. It is a oneness maker. In fact, you know, the black hole, this black hole is the true answer for black holiness. That's right. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something, and maybe you won't agree with this. I saw this years ago. The Lord showed me he showed me several facets of oneness, and one of the facets was what he called holiness. Because it is a joining that changes your makeup, your being. Now, I'm not talking about perfection in the sense of what most people are thinking. I'm talking really about being made whole. Yes. And that wholeness and that holiness is union with Christ. It's not what Christ does for you or what he gives you, or it's especially not what he demands of you. It's not. Yes, sir.
Is coming to the fullness of Christ, where you speak of that, is that just a part of it? Or
the fullness.
When you grow into the fullness of Christ?
Well, let's say that the fullness is way more than the halfness. I mean, I'm not joking here. There's an actual... The reality is the fullness has got to be it's full. I mean, it'd be like having this glass full. You'd say, well, there's the fullness. If you dump some out, you say, well, there's not the fullness. And you dump a little more out, so there's not. Well, this is that whatever the fullness is, which we know, and we discussed it in last class, that in Ephesians, and that's not the only place it discusses it, the fullness is till we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness that is Christ. Okay? Carpet sliding around. I feel like I'm on a magic carpet. Just kidding. I don't believe in magic carpets. That's right. Don't worry. It's recorded. No, I'm just kidding. I look forward to your emails and texts and calls. All right. So let's talk a little bit about this, the light that emanates from this. Now, we talked about last time that one of the ways a black hole was made is when two suns, one could represent Christ and the other you, and it starts this dance, this union, this coming together until they collide and form a black hole. Or it could be two sons of God who are determined to bring forth an environment that will draw people into oneness, not just into Christianity, the religion, one of five, four main religions on the planet, of which there is no word Christianity in the Bible. There's just Christian used twice by people, outsiders, you know, one of them, talking about those guys and called us Christian. Well, if I was there and they said, well, you guys are Christians, I'd say, no, we're not, and quit saying that we're Christians. We are one with Christ. Christian can be a term that you don't even think of Christ per se. You think of a religion. Sorry. I guess that's one of my pet peeves. But I think there's validity in dealing with it. All right. So, let's consider the light, because we talked about other suns that didn't form a black hole. Remember that? They went supernova, and but they didn't form a black hole. They formed a pulsar, which was this incredible light that's spinning and shooting light all over the universe, man. Magnetars, which are just these shooting out all this power and all this kind of stuff. Different manifestations of a sun going into death, but the highest manifestation is a black hole. All right? And so, if you consider, now consider this sun here, the Son of Man, or this Son of God that dies. All right? Before he dies, this would be a little more angle there. See that? That's the sun shining. It's alive. Whoo! Feel my warmth. You know? Be healed by my healing attributes. The sun. But there's actually, let's see, how did I write that? When it dies, it goes supernova. In its death, the light is so beyond that you can't even imagine. In other words, a dead sun has more light shining than a living sun. What? Say it again, Randy. A dead sun has way more light. In fact, I thought I wrote something down. Oh my gosh. That collision, that oneness, releases energy the sun would take to produce over 100 million years. A living sun. I'm walking, I'm doing good stuff, I'm shining. Glory to me. No, glory to Jesus. And aren't I helping and doing much good? No, you'd really do a lot more good if you die. What? I don't want to die. I want to shine. Well, you can shine. Because if you go supernova, baby, woo, you're going to really shine. Oh, you're ready for it. Do you really want to shine? No, because I know what you're going to say. Now, if you were just in a regular church service somewhere and you say, brothers and sisters, do you want to shine for Jesus? Yeah! Do you want the glory of God coming out of you? Yeah! Do you want to shine more than you ever have? Yeah! Let me hear it! Ah! Let me hear it! Then die. Die to yourself. Die to your culture. Die to your background. Let Christ be the explosion. Because in that binary suns, when they're going around, and if one of those is the sun, and we talked about this last time, that collision where they go supernova, that collision is not a collision at all. It's called a collision by people who want to save their own life. It's called oneness by those who love the reality of more of Jesus. Did anybody hear what I said? That is an incredible reality. It's called a collision because it's a collision. You know, I used to teach defensive driving, and they'd say, well, you know, I had an accident. And I said, no, we won't call it accident. We call them collisions. An accident is when, never mind. This is not even a collision. This is the moment of oneness. But not everybody sees it like that. They don't. They resist it. Do they want more of Jesus? Yes, theologically. Do they want more of Jesus practically? Apparently not. And I'm not judging or what. If they don't want to die, and that's the way to really bring forth more of Christ. I mean, where I come from, one and one's two. And that's, you know, that is the equation. Well, you know, nobody wants the truth cut that thin unless they want Jesus. And unless they really search the scriptures, because you can't listen to me or anybody that preaches this. You can't. You might actually hear because I've preached, but that hearing is not seeing. How should they hear without a preacher? Seeing is revelation. Hearing is awakened to, there's more, you know? But I can't deliver that. I'd like to. I've used to think I could. I can't. I can't do it. But I must declare the truth as it is in Jesus. And why? Because I'm a dedicated man. No. Because the Holy Spirit won't let me alone. That's all He shows me in the Word. Everywhere, all the time, He won't let me up. You know? Remember He did that to Jeremiah? Jeremiah finally said, look, I am so tired of being attacked and everybody saying bad stuff. My name is the worst name in Israel. I am tired of this. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to hold my tongue. I'm not going to speak this stuff anymore. And then he says, but the word of the Lord was like fire. Shut up in my bones. Have mercy. That's real holiness right there. When you go like that. Well, that's what he said, and he didn't shut up. He wanted to. He was tired of the junk, but he didn't. All right. So, I need to just read a few things here. This light release, which is what the collision, which is what the oneness is. The oneness is a release of light, just like a pulsar, but not in the same manner, because a pulsar is very is focused, and it goes. A sun that goes supernova fills the universe with light. You know, fills the universe. And so, let's see. I wrote, this light exceeds all light, the most powerful explosion. Now, it's so funny, because it releases all this light, but then it's in the explosion, it releases the light, and it's not an explosion, but it releases the light, but it forms a black hole, and whatever residual light is there, it'll literally pull it in. Pull light in. Why? 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 According to physics, why? Because light is just a particle. Because light is a particle. That's why. It's not, you know, it's just a smaller particle. It's like air or anything else. I saw a thing on TV the other night that said, the Eiffel Tower, all made of metal. I've seen it, been there. My wife and I looked at it. A huge thing says, if you could encase that in a huge bottle, that the air that is trapped in there would weigh more than the Eiffel Tower. Well, it would. But we don't understand all those things. But there is the air is particles. Everything is made up of subatomic particles. All right. I don't want to mess with you on physics. We're talking about Jesus. All right. This black hole, the light it gives out before it forms, it gives out gamma ray bursts, which are the most concentrated beams in existence. I was thinking of Paul when he was knocked down on the road to Damascus, and it says the Lord appeared and he was brighter than the sun. Brighter than the sun. Well, what does that mean? I mean, we go, well, it means he's really bright. He's brighter than the sun. That means he's really bright. That's it, huh? That's what we get out of that. We're really deep. It means Jesus died and went supernova, and it's brighter than a living sun. A dead sun is brighter than the living sun. That's what it means. It is constantly a testimony to death and resurrection. We don't see it. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. I mean, I'm just telling you, just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. It is there. Let's see, what's this called? Realities beyond the seen. Oh yeah, that's what this is about. It is a testimony. He's shining brighter than a living sun. That's an eternal reality, not some teaching of church or physics. It is an eternal reality from which all natural things draw their true meaning. And that is the source of all of it. All right. So I mentioned this last time. Black holes are more than light and power transmitters, as are other suns who have died, smaller suns. That death forms something different than other suns do. A black hole is the strongest gravity ever. It draws everything around it into oneness. And that's so, I've said it, I know, he's not just drawing us. Doggone it, he's not just drawing us. He's drawing us into oneness so that Christ may be all and in all, so that Christ may be the one, so that I no longer live. Christ lives in me. What good is it to have that doctrine and then live your own life? I mean, what power and effect do you think that's going to have on anybody, anywhere, to have the doctrine, talk it, and then live your own life? They'll never know. Just the reality of it, they will never be affected. An inspired person inspires other people. You know, that, so I'm trying to say, whatever they really are, that's what they're going to communicate. You can say all these big swelling words and, you know, think that everybody's going, oh, have you ever heard somebody speak and they thought they were just, oh, I know that was the best sermon I ever preached, and you're looking at them and you're just going, this guy's full of himself. Or, have anybody ever seen something like that? You're going, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, I've seen it, it's right up there. But there is that reality where, you know, somebody can talk and talk and talk, and man, the words aren't moving you. You're just kind of, you know, even a person standing next to you talking, 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 you know, somebody goes, oh, well, I went to so-and-so. We were in Maui, and then we went so-and-so, and da-da-da-da, and they're trying to impress you. And something, you know, something says that when they got back to Maui, they went home to their mobile home. Or something. You understand what I'm trying to communicate? That there's, you know, that we think outward appearances and words can fool people, and they don't. You know, not ultimately. They will not. You will eventually go, you know what? There's something phony baloney about this, you know. And I say that because you say, well, you know, there are millions and millions of people fooled right now. Yes, except a lot of those people don't know there's any alternative. They don't. I mean, they are doing the best they can with what they've got. And many, many, many of them really, really love Jesus with all their heart. Don't ever forget that. And I love them. I love them. And I don't look down my nose at them because they don't know what I know. My God, you know, knowing what I know ain't that big a deal. Knowing Jesus is the big deal, yeah.
I got a revelation. You said fire showed up in my phone. Jeremiah, I used to holler at and shout, oh, man, it's like burning. You know, you get all excited.
Oh, yeah.
I can relate that. Right now. Well, I'm somewhat better than I can when you talk about the dark hole.
Right.
Somewhat.
Right.
But I can see, I can understand Jeremiah saying that's, he touched that dark hole. So that's, to him, that was it. The fire shut up in his bone.
And he was so drawn in, and the gravity of that thing held him in spite of incredible odds. And
yes.
I mean, you ought to just read it.
That's
powerful.
You know, you just mentioned, shared that. Now I can see it a little bit.
So let's just make this clarity here. Unlike smaller sons or sons that don't have as much substance to it, when a massive sun goes supernova, it doesn't blow out as much as it gathers in. The biggest quality of it is for the rest of its life and existence, it will just be drawing in and gathering in and pulling in, and it'll swallow up millions of suns in its lifetime. What does that sound like? Sounds like Jesus saves us and then he's drawing us into something greater than just salvation as sons. Yes.
I've been looking that up, studying it, but in the Greek, it means drag, but it references another Greek word that says to take for oneself. And I think that I can really see that in the black hole and him bringing us in. He is taking us into himself. He is the one himself.
Amen. Okay, I just got a little warning there that my time's running down. I want to point out something here, and that is when this black hole forms, there is a place in this swirl, and I don't know where it is because this thing gets huge, but let's mark it right here, all right? You see, can everybody sort of see that line? All right. That line is the line of demarcation. It's called the event horizon. This middle thing is called the singularity. That's where everything becomes singular. It becomes one. That's where everything's drawn to and compressed into oneness. But there is this line of demarcation called the event horizon. And this is all physics stuff, but I want to get to a truth about that. And that is that all of these suns... there are suns swirling way, all around this thing, okay? And they're caught in this swirl, but many of them are just doing an orbit around this black hole, this dead sun, this resurrected sun, okay? But once anything gets past this line of demarcation, this event horizon, once it gets past there, it's at the point of no return. It's not coming back. It's going into oneness. Okay? But I'm telling you that to tell you there is a possibility to swirl around Jesus, and it's the difference between being Christ-centered and Christ in you. And they're in the right place. They're drawn in, but they're not totally given. They have not crossed the event horizon. They have not crossed the line. They are staying a certain distance. And I'm telling you that these things can keep circulating around here forever. You know. And they just keep going around and around and around and around. And that's what many do. They believe in this truth. They're not preaching pulsars. They're not preaching magnetars. They're not preaching all these other things. They're preaching black hole Christ oneness reality, but they're circulating around the message of that, and they have not been swallowed up of it yet. Are they better off than someone who's preaching just righteousness or baptism? Yes, they are. But are they what Jesus ultimately wants for each and every one of us? And the answer would have to be no. You know, I mean, a picture comes to my mind. Jesus said this. Three words. Remember Lot's wife.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what's that a picture of? What do you get from that? Well, here was this place of destruction. It's going to be destroyed. She was saved from destruction. She was saved from that, but she never crossed the line to come into full oneness. She's not, you know, she didn't die there when it went supernova, you know what I mean? I mean, she didn't die in that, but she never entered into the fullness of what this thing was about. And I'm telling you, you can be committed to all sorts of stuff. You can be committed to the message. You can be committed to the cross. You can be committed to Christ in you. You can be committed to living in Christ. All of those things, and never cross that event horizon And you feel the drawing of it because you're not wandering stars like Jude talks about. Not just wandering stars out there. But you've never made it across the event horizon. You've never, because there is a reality, there's a place. Can anybody, if you were looking at a black hole and you're far enough out and you're looking at it, could you mark exactly where the event horizon is? No, not really. It's my understanding that everything is still moving. And besides, you couldn't anyway because everything looks like it's slowing down. And I mean, it's a phenomena that everything, if you're outside looking at it, it looks like everything's just going in slow motion. So forget that. I don't think you can fully tell who's in and who's not in. I don't think you can fully tell where that place is at. You can't tell somebody. I don't know where it's at. Did it grab me? Baby, I'm in. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. It's been 40 years, and you know, I'm not. You don't have to worry. Like in 3 years, I'm not going to start preaching some other cool thing. You know, prosperity, so I can finally get some money out of this. You know, it's not going to happen. There is a place. And a lot of times we think we've already reached that place when we haven't. I know that personally because I thought I'd reached it 5 or 6 times when I thought I was really in. So, all right, let me make one last point here. The center of things. A black hole or black holes more than the individual sun is the true center of things. What do I mean by that? We've spent much of this class talking about the sun being in the center and its gravity and all that, right? I mean, for those who've been here the whole time, we've put the sun here in the center and then we put the nine planets out here and they're all circulating around the sun, and we said the sun is the center. But in truth, in actual truth, the sun is the center of the solar system, but black holes are the center of the galaxies. You've seen pictures of galaxies, these big swirling, well, it looks like this. Why? Because it is that. Did you know that our planet, yes, it's going around the sun, here's our planet going around the sun and everything, but our sun and our planet are going around a great big black hole that is the center of our galaxy. That's what's swirling everything in this massive level. And so I'm saying all that to say, this sun, this living sun, is the center for earthlings. But for those who go outside of that, far into the heavenlies, you'll find that that's not the center. That's not the center of our galaxy. It's way on the outside. It hadn't even died. That sun hadn't even died. And the sun that most people worship and know hasn't died yet, even though they say he has. They're still worshiping the one that's walking around, not the black hole sun. And this thing is swirling, and you know what? What's funny is this thing's way on the outer edge of our galaxy. They couldn't even see the black hole because there was so many suns and everything else in the way here, nebulas and everything else. They couldn't even see it till they came with a couple of different light spectrums, and it began to show it. And then finally, through a completely different light spectrum, they began to understand the heart of all galaxies, the true center of what God has in mind is not Jesus of Nazareth. It is Jesus in resurrection who brings us into oneness. The true center. And the true center is not the living sun. You say, on the throne. But who's on the throne? A lamb. As though he had been slain. I mean, you can't get away from this. I mean, yeah, no, I'm sorry. Some can. Some lights and planets and things actually do escape a black hole. I know people say it, It's impossible. But what happens with all this churning, they bounce off of one another, and sometimes things do get away. Sometimes people get away from it. They can get away from it. They can run from it. But you cannot hide. Let me just make sure. Okay, solar system is the sun is the center. Constellations, galaxies, black holes in the center. The center of our galaxy. Yeah, I said that. All right, so that's it. That's this reality of black holes, greater than our solar system, greater than our sun. It is seeing the sun in his death on a massive level called black holes. And there, you know, we can have Halley's Comet shoot through our solar system and our area. You know what I mean? We can have asteroids shoot right through and keep on going. Did you know that? They ain't going to do that with a black hole. Why? Because if you're just a planet, if you're just of Earth, and you're just circulating around Jesus over here, you're just on Earth, you're of Earth, you're dirt, you're just living based on this Earth, is there any hope for you? No, because you're just centered on the sun, but there has been no death yet. The hope for all things is a black hole. Because regardless of what it is, sun or not sun, when it gets pulled into that, its subatomic particles are meshed with everything else, and it becomes neither sun nor sun, Jew nor Greek, it becomes Christ all and in all. And he's the fullness of that. All right, let's stop, take a break. We'll come back and do a little Galatians next class.